I am here today to tell you about a social marketing campaign underway at my organization, the Institute for Family Health. As Megan said, we're one of the largest federally qualified health center networks in New York State. Our campaign is aimed at increasing patient engagement in our health center services. And by that I mean, how do we not only provide great health care, but encourage our patients to actively value, seek, and use those primary health care and preventive health care services that we offer. Because the session today is focused on realistic recommendations and planning tools, I'm going to try to highlight the resources that we used as we went through this process. So watch out for the purple circle. Before I begin, I want to state I have no financial relationships to disclose, yay, and I wanted to acknowledge some of the people who made the project possible, our funder, the Altman Foundation, our market research consultant, Sandra Radoff and Associates, our messaging and design team at WorldWay Social Marketing, and many of my colleagues and staff at the Institute for Family Health. And right there, you start to get a sense of some of the resources that we needed to complete this project. So to give you a little context, the Institute is a nonprofit healthcare provider. We offer medical care. We also offer mental health, dental care, insurance and benefits enrollment, a whole array of services. We currently serve about 93,000 patients at 27 locations across New York State. The campaign that I'm describing today was targeted at our New York City patients, of which there are 58,000, incredibly diverse, primarily medically underserved, and lower income. About 60% of our women, about 80% identify as people of color, and about two-thirds are either uninsured or have Medicaid. We strive to be a medical home or a usual source of care for all of these patients, and that was really the genesis of this project. Is anyone here from a health center or an FQHC? Oh, yay, hello. Other types of healthcare provider organizations? Okay. So those folks, and maybe the rest of you as well, know already that there's a lot happening in healthcare these days. I could talk all day about this. A lot of quality improvement activities, a lot of efforts around care management, care coordination, adding new staff members to the care team, and it's all organized around this belief, supported by evidence that we have, that we can improve the quality of care that we offer while reducing costs in the healthcare system. So my organization, like many other FQHCs and others in New York State, is tremendously involved in this whole suite of activities that's happening now. And connected to all of that is an understanding that we need to increase patient engagement in our services. We need to be educating people and promoting this idea that primary care is valuable, is desirable, is something that you can interact with on an ongoing basis in a way that serves you and your family. And that was really the genesis for this campaign. So, of course, in thinking about how we communicate around our services, around this notion of patient engagement, we look to the literature, and the literature, as Laurel introduced to you, supports social marketing. Social marketing has primarily been used in more traditional public health applications, things like tobacco cessation, and sometimes around specific healthcare services like mammograms, but we were not able to find much where people used a social marketing approach to attempt to engage patients more broadly in primary care services, in an ongoing relationship with a usual source of care or a medical home. So that's what we attempted to do. Here again, we're probably all going to show you this, is the marketing mix. And the Institute was in a great position for a social marketing approach because we had so much of the marketing mix in place already. On the left, you have the traditional four P's in the marketing mix. On the right, sometimes you'll hear them spoken about as the four C's instead. Either way, our product or our customer solution is that we provide an array of healthcare services We have very dedicated and caring clinicians and staff on our team. The price is right. As a community health center, as a federally qualified health center, we accept patients regardless of their ability to pay. We do everything we can to mitigate cost barriers, so can't beat us there. The place is also great. Most of our New York City health centers are located in residential neighborhoods on a commercial strip or near one, very close to public transportation, so they're very accessible and convenient. And all that we were missing really from the mix was the promotion and the communication. And how do we talk about our services in a way that makes sense to people and creates value for them? So we began by doing audience research, like good social marketers. We started with a qualitative process. We ended up doing 21 in-depth interviews with a mix of patients. We specifically picked people who were in some of our target audiences, including people who already have a chronic disease and who we're hoping to be able to effectively treat and manage in our primary care offices, as well as people who, for one reason or another, are at increased risk of developing a chronic disease. So we had both of those segments represented in this sample. We also had representation from people who were already more engaged in care, who came to see us frequently, who didn't miss their appointments, that sort of thing. And we had people in the group who hadn't seen us in a while, who tended to miss appointments a lot. So we were getting both of those segments as well. And we had a mix of genders, ages, ethnicities, people from different neighborhoods in New York City that represented our patient population. To do this, we needed a database, our electronic health record, with pretty detailed information about our patients, their health status, their prior service use. We needed analytic capacity to generate this list. I just summarized it for you in 30 seconds. It took me like a week to pull this list. And we needed qualitative research expertise. We needed someone who could develop an interview guide, have these conversations, generate this kind of information, code the data, et cetera, et cetera. What we came up with out of the interview process was this model. What you have here are patient archetypes. It represents a continuum of the kinds of people and the kinds of motivations that we were seeing in our sample. Going from left to right, and I'll review it in a little more detail in just a second, but this is how they sell iPhones, right? They figure out who they're trying to sell them to, and then they say, oh, here are the low-tech people on this end, and here are the high-tech people on this end, and how do we talk to each of them? So in our case, from our sample of patients, on the far left, we have someone who's really already very engaged in care, very activated in terms of their health, the experienced self-carer. And a typical quote from someone who spoke to this kind of idea, being healthy now is something I enjoy, knowing that I've worked hard to attain it and that I can sustain it. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have somewhat what we call the dispirited. This is a patient who really feels a sense of hopelessness about their ability to make a change in their health, in their life, doesn't feel convinced at all that anything they or we do can help them. And a typical quote from this group, I have diabetes, I have cholesterol, osteoporosis, I care less, I'm too old. I live in the projects in a dangerous place, and I can't go outside. I don't need to point out to you, these are very different people, and the same message is not going to work on both of these groups. And of course, a lot of the people that we're trying to reach are somewhere in the middle here, but I think seeing both ends of that spectrum gives you a sense of the array of people that we're trying to communicate with. Some of the other concepts that emerged during the interview process, a sense of personal control is really central to people's success. Healthy behaviors have a domino effect. People talked a lot about how one change kind of was the tipping point, and that led to other things for them. On the other side, family influences can be very powerful, both in promoting people to access health care and to make healthy choices, and the other way. They can be a deterrent. They can be a barrier. Work and other types of stress get in the way all the time. and a lack of knowledge. People did speak about straight-up health education. They didn't know what they were doing wrong, or they would fix it. So based on this, our next step was to try out some sample messages with a larger group of patients. We worked with our social marketing firm to develop some test messages, and we conducted a phone survey. Our goal was 400 surveys, and as I've already revealed to you, we only completed 50. To do this, we needed the messaging expertise to develop the test messages. We needed, again, that database and the analytic capabilities to come up with that call list. We needed a lot of people to make phone calls, and we needed a lot of time. We budgeted it very generously, and we still found getting people on the phone and actually conducting the interviews to be incredibly time-consuming. At the 50-caller mark, we stopped and we took a look at our data, and what we found was that the overall reaction to both of the messages that we were testing was very positive. As you can see here, the orange and the pink were somewhat and very positive reactions to both messages. In both messages, 4 out of 5 people said that it would increase their likelihood of making an appointment at our center. And when we asked people which message did they like better, again, we had pretty equal reactions. About half liked one message, about half liked the other. I can't completely account for that to you. Our social marketing firm may have just hit the nail on the head. Good for them. I can't promise you that that would happen in your own case, but based on that data, we decided it was no longer worth the intense resources it was taking to complete the quantitative phase, and we decided to go with the messages that we had come up with out of the qualitative. So I'm going to share the very beginnings of our designs. Before you get too excited, I will let you know that these are not finished at this time. We are still developing the campaign, working some more on the audience segmentation, on the imagery, on what we call the calls to action, what we're actually asking people to do after they see this motivational message. But I did want to share a little bit of what we've come up with. The first message was putting health in your hands. And as you can see, there's some variations on this. You have the power to take control of your health. You have the power to take control of your future. You have the power to take control of your time. And you have the power to take control of what lies ahead. The second test message, the community that knows you, this focuses more on us as the provider. We know you have the potential. We know you have what it takes, and here you start to see some of the calls to action. Ask us about our prenatal groups. We know you come first, and we know you have hope. If you're having trouble getting used to your medication, let us know. We can help. Limitations. I do not know if what we found out of this study is generalizable to any other patient population. Our intent was to use a sample that was representative of our patients, and we did do that. And I have no way of saying whether or not this would be applicable to other patient groups. Due to resource constraints, we were only able to talk with English-speaking participants. That is a severe limitation in our case, as well as in others, I'm sure. And by definition, to some extent, the people who participated in this study are already engaged in healthcare on some level because they were in my electronic health record and I had their phone number. There's a whole group out there who have no engagement with healthcare. We absolutely want to reach those people, and they were not included in this process. Our next step is to distribute this broadly. I can't go into this in depth, but we have a whole plan for how we're going to roll this out. Items that the patient will see at home, fridge magnets, things like that, collateral on our website. Items that they'll see when they're with us in our waiting rooms, in the way our staff speak, messages that our staff use when they talk with patients. And out there in the world at the various other healthcare settings that people interact with, partner agencies, things like that. Thank you very much for your time.